This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Welcome to part two of our discussion with fitness and nutrition coach, Marla Shum. In this episode, we focus on nutrition. And I found that Marla has a relatively simple but profound method of achieving sustainable results with her clients. It's all about balance and simplicity. Listen carefully and enjoy. From the age of 12, Marla was a competitive athlete. Her love and drive for strength, fitness, commitment, and competition grew over the years. Sports she competed in include gymnastics, long and short distance running, tennis, squash, cycling, and swimming. She has four grown children and is a very proud and youthful grandmother of three and is still pushing limits and boundaries beyond her years. Marla is a certified teacher in many disciplines, some of which include barre, Pilates, yoga, personal training, and enjoys training elite athletes as well. She's also a culinary nutritionist and nutrition coach. In your bio, Marla, one of the descriptors was that you're a culinary nutritionist. And if you would be so kind as to define what that is.
Sure. So culinary nutrition is more an understanding of what role food plays in our health. We learn how to research health issues and connection to diet, lifestyle, activity, and knowing how to put together client information packages based on all of that. So we learn how to create recipes that are therapeutic to specific conditions and meal plans that would adhere to specific dietary needs or health conditions. And then with all of that, we can write content to support any recipe creation, which gets carried through to teaching cooking classes that will do exactly that as well. So every time you're creating or executing a recipe, you get to explain why that food is here, what that food has to offer, all the therapeutic benefits to it.
Actually, I think that's wonderful. Because people do not realize what they're eating. They don't realize what they should, the reason why they shouldn't be eating certain things. What do you see as the major issue most people have when you start to look at their diets?
People revert to foods that are ready-made, that are processed. It's easy, it's time-saving, and I think snacking is a big deal. I think eating too close meals and snacks too close together are common. I think eating late at night is common, and drinking things that they shouldn't be drinking, and I'm not talking specifically alcohol, I'm talking about drinks that they could be sugar drinks, they could be juices.
Mm-hmm. All these nutritionists, doctors, they've written book after book. They all say their diet is the best, like the keto diet, the paleo diet. And it's incredulous to me that they don't recognize that everybody's body is different. Everyone has a nutritional plan that should be specific for them because everyone's body type is different. A lot of that is genetic. And so people go crazy trying these fad diets. They lose weight, but then they gain that weight back, plus, plus. So, and it's hard for people to change. In fact, I think it's much easier to stay on a fitness regime than a good diet, to stay on healthy nutrition, because you're around food all the time. It's extremely difficult to change someone's habit. That's what I found, even in trying to help my partner with his nutrition. It's a battle.
There's so much around food, but we really have to think that everything that we eat, we're processing almost before we eat it. Our brains think about that right away. So a good thing to think about is, why am I eating this? Am I hungry? Am I just eating to eat? You kind of have to ask yourself some questions before you start to eat. Psychologically, it's important. And yeah, I mean, you could be hungry. Yes, I'm hungry, so I'm eating, you know. But then you might want to ask yourself, well, why am I eating this? Is this what I should be eating right now? Is this what my body's asking for? Eating is it can be fun. Eating can nourish your soul. And eating can also, you know, eating the wrong things can make you feel like real shit. So where do we want our eating? What do we want to feel like after we eat? And what do we want the food that we just consumed to do for us? Mm-hmm. There's different things that we can ask ourselves, but most eating is emotional.
On that note, I listened to an interview that I thought was pretty interesting. This girl was talking about her own eating issues, and she realized that, as you say, she was eating to fill a hole inside of her because she didn't have self-identity. And once she went through a process of recognizing who she was and becoming more balanced spiritually, I suppose mm-hmm. you could say, her eating disorder stopped. Mm-hmm. She didn't need to fill that hole. I thought that was pretty interesting, a different way of looking at it. And it's true.
We're subconsciously emotionally eating, but it's 100% true. You can go probably one of two ways, but if you're having, let's call it relationship problems in your life, let's call it sleep deprivation. These are all things that are going to throw your eating off, and you might not even be able to pinpoint that, but small things, big things, they change our eating. They do. It's because, I mean, it's psychological.
Do you have your clients go on a healthy detox when you start them? Like, do you take them off all sugar?
I guess so. I guess so. Yes. Yes. There's no sugars on my plans, but if they need to go off that once in a bit, they do. Like, that's okay. That's important. Once you start cutting sugar out, it becomes very easy. It's getting rid of it. It's gone. Your body doesn't crave it anymore.
What about the helping people with the snacking? Because as you say, if you deprive, you're just going to want it more and more. So how do you kind of teach somebody or help them reduce the snacking?
I find that most women, and again, we're going to coin this, over 50, just don't eat enough. So they're having nice little light meals, and then, yeah, they're a little hungry and they're going to be snacking. So really, my meals are big. They're huge. And my protein intake is massive. It's every meal and it's a lot of protein. And I'm not eating again for another 3 hours. And this is a way that helps your body recover from that last meal, you know, rest and digest. And you don't crave that snacking if you've eaten properly. You try to normalize your blood sugar. You know, your insulin is going to be of utmost importance. So try to balance your insulin, and the snacking becomes, again, 100% psychological. You walk by a food and you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I am hungry. Let's have a handful of chips. They look so good. If the chips aren't there, you don't want the chips. They're just not there. And you're not even probably that hungry.
Well, that's what I've learned. I mean, everyone has their little food that they crave. I just don't have it in my house.
Yeah.
If I don't have it in my house, I can't reach for it. When it's in my house, oh my God, like it is, I can't control it. And there the little mini binges happen.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, can I use our example?
Please.
Leslie had complained to me that she's just eating. She's even keeping chocolate beside her bed. She loves her chocolate. And every time she goes to bed, she gets, you know, some chocolate. And then when she passes by in the kitchen, there's other snacks and everything looks great. And she can just, you know, put her hand in and take whatever she wants out. So I suggested to Leslie that she gets the chocolate out of her bedroom, which is so cute. My grandmother always did that too. She had chocolate beside her bed. And hide the things in her kitchen. Just take them off the counter and put them behind a closed cupboard. And Leslie, what happened?
Well, in my particular case, because I have issues with blood sugar, I found that my overnight blood sugar has started to now normalize. So for me, this is how I looked at it. And I ate dark chocolate because you can have dark chocolate. It's not as bad as milk chocolate. But all of a sudden, I'm having dark chocolate every single night. Oh, it's one square, it's two squares. Oh, that's okay. Tonight I can have three. So every single night for years, that was my treat because I worked so hard during the day and I ate well and it's okay. But what it was doing was that every single night I'm increasing my, I guess my insulin or whatever overnight, I'm increasing my calories just before I went to bed. And my body was fighting so hard to reduce that effect of sugar overnight that it was making my pancreas overwork. I know it was. Ever since I took that out, and it's been, and you also told me one other little thing. You said I could have some little thing. You said I could put two little things back. So for me, what I did was I took two tiny pretzels, just little pretzels, and I put them beside my bed because I was so worried that I'd have to eat something else at night. Over time now, I found I don't even touch those pretzels. I no longer touch anything at night after 7 o'clock. I feel better. I can't say I think my sleeping is any better, but that's okay. But I'm not waking up in the morning with higher blood sugar. My body's getting to rest overnight, and I've given up that nighttime grazing, and I don't miss it at all. And it just, it didn't take very long, but all you said to me was just take it away. And that just take it away, although it sounds really simple, was very powerful. And it has worked. I don't touch chocolate at night anymore. And it's been like 3 months now, and I feel better.
You did a good job.
It was also the way the reality you said to me, you go, well, just move it. Sounds like that's a really simple statement, but it's also confronting yourself saying, okay, all right, yeah, why don't I just move this? And it was a very profound, easy statement, but it had made a big difference. So even getting it out of the cupboard, I just don't buy it anymore.
I eat a lot of nuts. So that's my snack. I eat a lot of pecans and walnuts. Is that good for you as your in-between snack?
Nuts are definitely good. Yes, how many of them are you eating? We can overeat nuts.
But 1/3 of a cup.
That's
I
awesome.
Measure everything.
So nuts are full of things that we absolutely, our body loves. I'm an almond walnut kind of person, but yes, the fats in them are very good, the fiber. They're satiating, and I love that you control it because that's another thing. I mean, nuts they're a little bit addictive, and they're raw nuts, right? You're eating raw nuts.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So yes, great snack.
One comment I would have on that is that they are a wonderful snack. I totally agree there, but unfortunately, a lot of people can't digest nuts very well.
That's true.
And what do you feel about, for instance, almond butter, the nut butters?
Good, but if you need a little help to digest nuts, you soak them with a tablespoon. You just put them in water, and basically you're beginning a sprouting process. And you can put a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in the water, and then the lectins come out. The lectins are what makes them hard to digest. And then you just put them on a very, very low temperature roast, or you dehydrate them. I know this sounds like work. Everything that, you know, we want to improve in our diets does take a little bit of work, but it's worth it. So you just roast them out until they're nice and dry. It could take 8 or 10 hours because you don't want to cook them at a high heat. You just do them about 100 degrees, 110. And they should be way more digestible.
How do you feel about shakes in the morning? Do you think that it's a good way to start your day, or is it too much sugar? Depending on what you put in it, if it's spinach and maybe having your low carb berries, Is that a good way to start your day with, you know, almond butter and soy milk or almond milk or whatever your preference is? Or do you prefer doing the eggs and the having the protein to start the day?
So the protein is part of the smoothie, if that's what you're doing. I do like a smoothie in the morning.
Protein powder in the smoothie, you're saying?
Yeah.
It's okay?
It's protein powder and maybe some Greek yogurt. Yeah. The non-dairy milk, I don't know really what it's doing in there for you. So that's not what I personally use.
Okay.
I can use water and be happy, but you can get a lot of nutrients from that. And you have to decide if you want to throw that many things at your body in the morning, or you just want to keep it simple and have a couple of boiled eggs. So yes, a smoothie works. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep your body nourished. And really, we need to eat and live as naturally as we can, make wise choices, enjoy colorful meals, mix up your eating, and think about what you're eating. But we have to live. So we have to find things that work for us, and then they become sustainable.
Perfect. Are you a vegan? Are you a meat eater? I'm just curious.
I was vegetarian, more pescatarian, pretty much my whole life until almost 2 years ago, where I incorporated, it was advised to me to incorporate animal products, and it changed my life. So I am back onto animal products. Still primarily pescatarian, but I do eat red meat. I do eat chicken. And I've always had eggs in my diet. And my body is different. My body is stronger. I had gone from being extremely fatigued to managing that fatigue now. My body was undernourished.
Mm-hmm. Really? How many do you eat red meat once a week, like a steak or a good quality?
Yeah.
Very interesting. There's so many thoughts about that, different thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very different getting all your protein from a plant-based diet. It's extremely difficult. And in fact, I find that that's where people become obsessed. We haven't talked about eating disorders called orthorexia, but it's when someone gets obsessed by eating literally a healthy food, every morsel of food that goes into their body. And restricting yourself just enhances that eating disorder.
So again, you go back to that word balance.
Yeah.
Balance. And then I still err on the high side of protein, but it's for physical activity.
Yeah.
So the more physical you are, then women do not, over 50 generally, are not eating enough protein. Every client I've had, again, you asked what they're missing. They're missing protein.
Interesting. And I think, again, it's a misconception of don't eat very much because I'm going to gain weight, but it's wrong.
It can work on the opposite scale, actually.
Exactly.
Works on the opposite.
Do you intermittent fast? How do you feel about that?
I do play with that a little bit. It's not for everybody. And there's so many different definitions of intermittent fasting. A true fast is absolutely no water, nothing, not even brushing your teeth or taking a shower, because still you're having fluids go into your body. That's a true intermittent fast. I like 16-hour fasts here and there. And if you're feeling that your body needs a little bit of a cleanse, that's one way of doing it. I know people who can fast for 3 days and people who fast every single day until, you know, whatever, 11 a.m. And that's what's comfortable for them. Everybody is different.
So Marla, if somebody wants to get hold of you, how can they do that?
They can contact me via email, marlashumwellness@gmail.com. I have an Instagram page, whatever you call it. You see, I'm not a real social media person. That's called Marla Barre, Marla Barre. Facebook, Marla Shum Wellness, also is a Facebook page. And I'd be happy to respond to any emails, questions, anything that we talked about today.
Thanks, Marla. We'll put all of those links in the show notes.
Okay.
Perfect. You've been a wonderful guest, a wealth of information.
Thank you.
And we've all enjoyed this discussion. So thank you very much, Marla.
And thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.